Welcome to On Topic Retro, episode 43. I'm John Cummins. Joining me tonight is Shannon Eno and Philip Paulson. And we are continuing the Becoming the Hero series tonight with the Four Swords Adventures, and Triforce Heroes. We have three games in one episode tonight. And
almost like the Triforce.
Yes.
The Triforce of games. The
Triforce of Zelda games.
Except it's a little bit like the Triforce from the original Zelda, where there's actually only two of them because we we could cross over one of them.
we are going to try our best to let Triforce Heroes be a equal piece, but it's probably not going to happen. We still like the game. We're not going to just totally dump on it, but it's definitely not our favorite out of the three. We'll just keep it that way. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
I'm also doing good. I frantically emulated and played Four Swords right before this episode. So good news is that's not a very long game. Bad news is that was, I definitely had to rush through that one.
That's all right. You had prior experience to get to lean on, and that you can share whenever we get there. But yeah, no, that's one that I kind of did the same thing, except for I started, I don't know, it's been a couple weeks ago. I downloaded it and started playing it, and then Unicorn Overlord came out, and that kind of like consumed all of my time. So I set it down, and I didn't realize it, that I was like probably 10 minutes away from beating the thing anyway. So that works. I did it tonight just for this. Before we get too far into the topic of tonight's episode, I do have a little bit of housekeeping. We are doing a Retro Rewind Champions on the Pokemon X and Y games. This is a Pokedex challenge. Whoever submits a Pokedex that has the most Pokemon out of our group that's playing will win $10. I think there's been quite a few people playing this time around, and there's some like pro Pokemon hunters out there. I think Nintendo Man's been racking them up.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to, this one's going to stretch out a little bit. I think I had planned, I'm probably going to let it go for 2 months just to let people have time to play. Cause, even myself, that stretch in between the first two, the first two gyms is ridiculous. Like I still haven't made it to the second gym yet.
Wow. What do you think what do you think the, world record time is for completing the national decks in X and Y?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like actually getting them all.
It has to be a long time.
I wonder if they even do a speed run for that.
Because I mean the national decks for X and Y would have still already been like 600 something Pokemon, I think.
Yeah.
Had to been, or maybe more, I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
So see if someone could do it in 2 months.
I doubt they're gonna do a national decks, but we'll see. I just thought about it. I didn't ever put any stipulations on it, but I don't think anyone will do this. But they could technically just import Pokemon from home to their save file. But I hope everyone
honor
is
system.
Yeah, honor system for this. If they want to do the, I mean that's got to be a lot of work too. But
I mean, if they catch. If they play, if they buy like Ruby and play it and then catch Pokemon and then trade them in like within the time period.
No, that's fine.
That could be fair.
But somebody has Pokemon home and it's sitting there with the whole Dashiell deck in it already that they could just plop right into their game. No, I don't think that's going to be the case. We're just having fun. In fact, I know at least one or two people deleted a major save file game to play this month. So I don't think they would take the time to skirt that. So
yeah,
anyway, Pokemon X and Y, play with us extended amount of time. That's going to free up some episode slots. So I picked out a topic for the next episode that would normally be the Retro Rewind game, but since we're continuing on, I had to find something else, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Right.
All right. That's it for housekeeping. Let's talk some Zelda. This is a trio of multiplayer Zelda games. That's why they're all put in the single episode. And I also knew that I was going to have a hard time finding individuals for each one of these games. Like, I found two people for all three of these games. So that's just to show how well these were played.
And I signed up for every Zelda anyway, so.
Yeah, you were automatically here, so.
I'm the only Four Swords true appreciative fan. This is the only Zelda game I've actually finished, and now no one will take me seriously for the rest of the episode.
No, I think we had some other, I had some other people sign up, but couldn't make it just due to time. And, heck, I had somebody, one person that signed up, and they forgot they signed up. They're like, when did I sign up for this? So I was like, last October. And they're like, oh, yeah, I don't remember signing up for this. But anyway, we're going to talk some multiplayer Zelda. It's kind of odd for Zelda in the first place. Like, that somebody thought that we needed these multiplayer Zelda games. And it turns out that, you know, at least a couple of them are pretty fun. They all have their quirks and just odd decisions during development for these games in general. But again, we'll talk about that later. We're going to do experiences first. And Flightsy, since you have the most recent experience, yeah, we'll go with yours.
So first off, this is a game I've played. I've only played Four Swords. I'm only here to talk about Four Swords. I'll like make comments on the other ones from like what I've heard and seen through like videos, but like I'm mostly here to talk about Four Swords, the original anniversary edition, because I grew up with the DSi. My parents got me a DSi and not an original DS, or the DS Lite. I went straight to the DSi. And I was 8 when this game was available to download, and it was free, so I downloaded it, and it served me well. It took me a long time to play through it because I was 8 and not very good. So then earlier today, because I was planning to play it over spring break, forgot, realized I didn't have my DSi with me, downloaded, I think Melon DS, I was like, all right, I'll just download this quick and get it to play. So first mistake, I tried to just download Melon DS and then download a ROM and then play the ROM with Melon DS, foolishly thinking that would work like some fool. Turns out, so instead I had to go, after following around on Reddit, apparently I have to download the DSi firmware. So I downloaded the DSi firmware. Turns out, whatever version of firmware I got came in a zip package that Windows could not natively unzip. So basically, the person I found had the firm said that, oh, this firmware, actually, they put Four Swords on it just automatically because, like, I put a bonus on the firmware. So I was like, all right, I'll get this. So then I tried to unzip it with 7-Zip, with the new WinZip kind of thing. Before I gave up, I found a revised version. I downloaded the revised version. I was able to extract the revised version. I got that version of the DSi running. Turns out that version of the DSi didn't have Four Swords on it. So then I found an online zip opener that would open the zip file and then send the files to Google Drive, where I'd have to re-download them to finally actually download the game, and I finally got to play Four Swords, and I spent an hour on the tutorial and an hour on the entire rest of the game. So I'll talk more about what actually happened during the playthrough, but that is how I came to play the game.
That's dedication like for this
fun
show
experience.
There was more adventure involved in the getting of the game.
There's a lot of yelling, really.
All right, so you're only four swords.
Yes.
The original four swords that, not adventures.
I mean, right. I have things to say on four swords. I don't have things to say on the other two, but I will. I'll still comment.
Oh yeah, no, that's fine. Right. I kind of expected to get a. I mean, we had similar with seasons and ages. Not everyone had played both. Shannon, what do you got for experiences on these?
So, four swords. The original four swords. I did not get to play right away because I had no way of playing it because it came with Link to the Past Game Boy Advance version. And it was there was no single player, and I didn't know anybody else who had it, so couldn't play it. Right. Multiplayer, so was never able to play it. Then they put it, the Anniversary Edition, out for the 3DS, and... I was finally able to play it single player. I have never played it multiplayer ever, just single player. In fact, I've never played any of these games. Well, no, I take that back. I have played Triforce Heroes with multiplayer, but either of the four sword games, I've never actually played multiplayer.
I think that's going to be a pretty common thread.
Yeah, right.
And probably for most of the listeners too.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So I actually played Four Sword Adventure for the GameCube actually before, that was the first one I played of these three games. And I bought that game when it came out, and just played it single player. And cause you can play with a regular GameCube controller if you're just playing single player. If you play multiplayer, you have to have, you know, like $1,000 worth of equipment, I think. Because you need more GameCubes and you need more copies of the game.
In today's dollars, you have to have more than it would cost to get just a GameCube for sure.
Right. Oh. Yes. It's crazy, right? But that is a game that I thoroughly enjoyed because it really felt to me like a callback to Link to the Past in a lot of ways. It has a lot. It borrows a lot from Link to the Past, and anybody that's been listening knows that Link to the Past is my favorite game of all time. So there's a lot of reuse of items and things like that. And so I really, really like Four Swords Adventure. Then there's Triforce Heroes. And again, anybody that's been listening to this knows how much I can just go on and on and on about how much I love Zelda games. Triforce Heroes is not one of those games. I bought it when it came out and I played it. I didn't, again, nobody I knew who had it, right? So you can play it online, or you could play it online. If you're listening to this in the future, you will no longer be able to play it online because that's getting shut down here. But I played with random people, and it was either a slideshow that was so unplayable because it was so bad. The connection was so bad. Or I'd be playing and we get a little bit, and then you end up with people that were just like, they didn't care about completing the levels. They just cared about, like, you know, picking you up and throwing you in lava and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't, they weren't actually there to help, you know, actually progress.
New Super Mario Bros. Wii brand of multiplayer.
Right. Yes. So I played through Triforce Heroes single player, and I'm sorry, but I deserve a freaking award for doing that. That game was not meant to be played single player. It can be done, but it was added in last minute, which we'll talk about. And it is, at least with Four Swords and Four Swords Adventure, the single player is actually, it's fairly smooth. You could switch between links pretty easily. And you can, you know, call everybody together and everybody's moving at one. Triforce Heroes, you have to control everybody all separately.
How does that work?
You just, like, you use the touchpad to switch between the different links, and there's only three links instead of four, but it was not designed to be played that way. You can. I don't recommend it. I did it so you don't have to.
Right.
But, you know, it is a game that exists, and it is a Zelda game, so I have it, and I have completed it. And, you know, I get it. We'll talk a little bit more about the game itself for a little bit here. But I get what they were going for, and I even like some of the stuff. And I think if I had the opportunity to play local player with people I knew, I would give it another shot. But until that is to happen, I probably will never play the game again.
Local player isn't going away with the online shutdown, right?
No, you can still you can
still play local. You just not
you
online.
Can still play local. I just, if I get the chance to do that, absolutely, I'll jump back in. I'll give it another shot because I like what they were going for in some of the way, but it just in execution, it's not great. And having to play a single player is really, really not good. So don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, it's
I'll
funny.
I'll make that my second. Yeah, with the game.
Yeah, there you go.
We kind of talked about how we would like some of these games to come to the Switch. And it would be really funny if that was the one that came and we didn't get the other ones.
No!
They're like, we brought Triforce Heroes, and we thought it was just fine the way it was, so we just brought it over how it is.
Right, and it still plays like crap online.
We actually made it slightly worse.
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
We added another link.
Right, yeah.
We added exactly. Another link that is but in the spirit of it, only three people can play. But right. We added a CPU to also be there.
Yeah, jeez. They likes to throw in the lava.
Oh man. Yep. So anyway, that's my experience with these three games.
Oh man. So with these three games for me, I did not play Four Swords until the anniversary edition either. And I don't even think that I played all the way through it whenever they released it. I remember downloading it and playing a little bit, thinking it's okay, but I didn't have anyone to play with multiplayer at the time. And none of these games are particularly the most fun when you're playing them by yourself. At least Four Swords and Four Swords Adventure are serviceable as a single player game.
Four Swords Adventure can actually be a pretty fun game, single player. There's enough there anyway.
Yeah. I played the Anniversary Edition, and I actually just recently played it. I talked a little bit about that. And I actually did enjoy it. There's just, it's a demo, you know, it's a bite-sized chunk. There's not a whole lot to the game.
I have things to say on that, but I'll wait until a dedicated section.
Yeah. I definitely see the motivation to make another one. Like, I see how they came about with the idea that, hey, we should expand on this. Like, it's fun and it works. And I think that there was probably some regrets that it was a Game Boy Advance game in the first place, that it was so hard to do multiplayer on Game Boy Advance.
It's not much easier on the GameCube.
It's not?
It's like a DS where you connect the Game Boy Advance, which you still... I don't know if you can play it with a controller, but connect the Game Boy Advance.
Only single player. You can only do a GameCube controller in single player.
Right.
The moment you have more than one player, everybody has to have a Game Boy Advance connected through a link cable.
But you only have to have a Game Boy Advance. You only have to. There's still one copy of the game for Four Swords.
Yeah, you
Adventures.
Don't have to have multiple copies. Yeah.
So I think you were more likely to have three friends at the time that had a Game Boy Advance than you were to have four people that had all had a Link to the Past with Four Swords and link cables, because you still had to have link cables connecting Game Boy Advance together. So again, it was more of, to me, it was more doable. I never got to play Four Swords Adventures multiplayer or single player. I didn't get this game until somewhat recently, like a couple of years ago. But I do remember my brother-in-law had it, and I might have played this. It's been so long ago now. I mean, it's 20 years ago. I might have played a little bit of this game and just don't remember. But I remember that he had it because I remember seeing him and his buddies playing it when I would go over there. And
right.
But I could definitely, I did fire it up. I played a little bit of it recently, and they definitely build on Four Swords. I do like the worlds are more fleshed out. It's not just like a little simple dungeon. Like, there's more to it.
Yeah.
So I would love for that one to come back. And I still plan on, I've still got my save file. I'm going to try to play through some more of it later as time allows, but it's definitely on the list. As far as Triforce Heroes goes, I was telling Shana before we started the episode that I played the demo of this with a friend and decided this game was not for me, like, immediately. And I think part of the reason why, and I shared this as well, but the same friend and I played through Federation Force. And, you know, it was a kind of a situation where I wanted to play Federation Force, and I was like, hey, why don't you buy a copy and we'll play through the multiplayer because it's going to be more fun. And then whenever this game came around, he asked if we could do the same thing. And I said, no, I wasn't feeling the game at all. I don't know. It was not for me at the time. So this one, similar to Four Swords Adventures, I ended up buying, I don't know, maybe three or four years ago now, just to have on the shelf, but I don't plan on opening it. It's still sealed. So that's my experiences. I think Shannon probably covers all the bases. He's played all these all the way through. Yeah. So at least we have one person here that can completely talk about it. And then Blightsy and I can really go at Four Swords.
Yeah, it's like attack Four Swords. It's like, man, this is a really Four Swords focused adventure.
Yes.
That's okay.
So I guess with experiences out of the way, we'll go ahead and start talking about this game. First thing, the game overview, these games in their release dates. Four Swords came out for the Game Boy Advance in North America on December 2nd, 2002. And as we mentioned previously, this game was packed in as like a multiplayer side game to A Link to the Past on the Game Boy Advance. It released in Japan on March 14th, 2003. Which is kind of unusual for Japan to get a game after North America, but hey, it happened. And then Europe gets it on March 28th of 2003. The DSiWare game, the Four Swords Anniversary Edition, which I think Shannon was talking about, they re-released the Anniversary Edition on 3DS for a short period of time as well.
For another anniversary, right?
Yes. I think it was, but I don't have the date for that, but originally September 28th, 2011 for the DSiWare version, which would have been.
I wonder if it was 2016 then or something like that.
It could have been, probably a five years later. But this was playable on both DSi and 3DS at different time periods. And then we have Four Swords Adventures, the second game we're talking about. released in Japan on March 18th of 2004, North America on June 7th, 2004, Europe on January 7th, 2005, and Australia on April 7th, 2005. So there's really not a whole lot of time in between the release of the Game Boy Advance Four Swords and then GameCube's Four Swords Adventures.
It reminds me of all those Kirby games, you know. For a while, both 3DS game Kirby games have two side mini games, and those two side mini games became four spin-off games because each of them got turned into a full concept.
Yeah, it's a little bit different because those are only download-only games. Like, this is a full-fledged, like, where this is one where it actually got larger the second time around. The spinoff is a full game where the original game was kind of a concept game, like an idea.
Well, the Kirby games are definitely larger. The full versions are definitely larger. But this definitely feels like a fuller version of a...
Yeah. I get those were mini games inside of a actual Kirby game to start with. They get fleshed out, yeah. So I guess it is pretty similar.
All right, just to kind of go back and solve that, it looks like it was actually released for the DSi and the 3DS at the same time.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh.
So it was between September 2011 to February 2012 for both the DSi shop and the Nintendo eShop for 3DS.
Wait, 3DS was 2011?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yep.
Yeah, I know, because I remember that.
I was thinking it was later for some reason. Yeah, but I was thinking it came afterwards.
I keep forgetting how much earlier 3DS came than Wii U, because like, there was like a bleed over.
Yeah.
Right?
1 year difference.
Okay, my sense of time is just stupid.
Yeah, 2012 for Wii U.
That's what happens when we all get older, Francie. Yeah. But yeah, just to kind of wrap up that conversation, that was for both.
Nice.
Both versions.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that about that differently, but makes sense. I mean, it works for both the DSi and the 3DS are essentially using the same hardware for the most part. And then last we have Triforce Heroes. This released in Japan on October 22nd, 2015. North America and Europe at the same time, October 23rd of 2015. And then Australia would get it October 24th, 2015. So these are all pretty close together. Again, that's a pretty late 3DS game.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only like not even it's not even 2 years until Switch release. Yeah.
Which is 2017.
Yeah, but early 2017.
Yeah, Switch would get announced like a year after that.
Yeah. So yeah, this is pretty late.
Didn't they push the Switch ahead in development because of how the Wii U, like, Wii U only lasted like half a generation, technically.
Yeah.
Put everyone out of lockstep.
I mean, it lasted longer than people remember it lasting. 5 years is still a pretty good life cycle for a console. It's not like it's not a Dreamcast or like a Virtual Boy type scenario. I mean, yeah, they did. I think they rushed the Switch forward a little bit, but the Wii U just did not sell. I mean, it still existed. It just did not sell.
It just existed. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Although there are plenty of great games on it.
I'm a proud owner of Nintendo Land, the last quality exclusive as everything else got pointed to the Switch.
Oh, there's still a few left. I'm still waiting on Xenoblade Chronicles X.
They haven't done... Oh, wow. I thought they did that.
The HD versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess...
There's still a few on there that we need. One that I would like to have just to play come over would be Game & Wario, but
I mean,
because that's a $100 Wii U game.
Yeah. But Game and Wario is weird. Well, we can't start talking about Game and Wario.
No, that'll be a whole nother episode because it's starting to get old.
We'll get there.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, I think it's getting close to 10 years old now. It's hard to think that Wii U games are that old, but yeah, they're some launch Wii U games are 12 years old.
Yep.
Dang.
Yeah, time flies.
When you think about how old Mario Kart 8 is.
It's 9 years old, right? 2015, is that?
Was it 2015? I was thinking 2014, but you might be right.
2014,
9 or 10 years old,
They could release Mario Kart 10 at the same time as the 10-year anniversary of Mario Kart 8, assuming they skip 9 like all the smartphones did.
Yeah. Right. What was it? I don't want to get into that either.
Yeah, we're getting off the... Four Swords!
Yes, Four Swords. the development of Four Swords. That's what we're going to talk about next. There's really not even a whole lot of notes that can be found on this, just kind of digging around. The original Four Swords for the Game Boy Advance was jointly developed by Nintendo and Capcom. So we were still kind of seeing this relationship between Nintendo and Capcom for Zelda carry over from the Oracle's games.
Right.
And then Capcom was also working on Minish Cap at this time. But it was put on hold to work.
Wait, I think something's wrong with your notes.
What's that?
Because I remember this is Grezzo. I was watching the credits. I was reading the credits.
That's the anniversary edition.
Yeah, I was
going
to say they did the anniversary.
Oh, yep,
they did they ported the anniversary edition.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. So no, this was the original one, which I believe is before Grezzo existed. I could be wrong about that, but I don't remember any Grezzo games before at this point. Minish Cap was being developed at the same point in time because it would come out slightly later. But it was put on hold because they wanted to add something to the port of A Link to the Past, and that's where we get Four Swords. It was tacked on as a multiplayer experience, and it's kind of unique because it adjusts based on how many players are actually playing. So the dungeons would be different sizes depending on how many links you had in there.
Well, like full on different size? Oh, I bet each square was bigger because it's pretty compact.
Yeah. So there had to be more room for more links.
That's very cool.
And they decided to run with the art style, like a Link, as the aesthetic of Zelda that's similar to Wind Waker, because that's what was in development at the time.
It's kind of like Wind Waker and Link to the Past had a baby.
I know. Yep. Zelda looks very interesting, like very different than any of the ones I can think of.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they hadn't nailed down the full concept of what Zelda would look like for Wind Waker, but they maybe had the Link worked out. I'm not sure, because the Link is definitely Wind Waker Link, like art style-wise. Mm-hmm. He's like a little kid Link.
Well, and I think at that time, we were seeing a lot more younger Zelda, like kid-age Zelda, because if you look at what we get in Minish Cap, her and Link are younger, right? They're more kid age. And then Wind Waker, they're kid age. So I think we were getting more younger Zelda anyway. So I think it's just, she's definitely not like you wouldn't think she's like an older teenager or a young woman.
Yeah.
She's definitely more childish.
Vani has like a Scooby-Doo moment where he's like, I've been beaten by a couple of kids. Go, ho, ho, ho. That's what he laughs.
Yeah.
He would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for Link.
For those
and
four Links.
Those four crazy Links.
Had it been for Link and Link and Link and Link.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot to the development of this game. I know that... Again, I know it was kind of like a tack on to that port and that's kind of how it got its existence. But it also made it, I mean, you couldn't be attached to a better game, I guess, to bring attention to it. So Four Swords Adventures, this game was made with very similar art style to the original Four Swords game.
But on the GameCube, it looks gorgeous.
Way better, it's, yeah. It's definitely expanded upon. It's definitely expanded upon, but you can see, like, if you're played both of them, you can say, like, yeah, these are related. Yeah. Like, they're definitely using it. And it was developed with the GBA controller function in mind. Like, this was probably the reason why we get a link cable in the first place. They can do this.
Right.
Good or bad. Like, I'm sure, you know, maybe somebody might have wanted to use a Game Boy Advance as a controller for something.
It's really good.
Animal Crossing.
Pac-Man maybe? Versus.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good for Pac-Man Versus. I actually have the GBA controller because you only because I played Kirby's Dream Land through the Game Boy Player. Pac-Man, and I got Pac-Man Versus because, like, I have the stuff anyway. It's really fun.
So I was thinking, like, maybe playing the classic games in Animal Crossing might be worth if you can use the Game Boy. I don't even know if you can use the Game Boy Advance controller for that, but I'm just trying to think of anything you would want to use it for a controller as.
Crystal Chronicles.
Yep.
Those are the only games I could think of that made use of the functionality.
And then something that I brought up that I was kind of surprised that Shannon hadn't heard this, but in Japan, there were three games bundled into one disc for this. There was Hyrule Adventure, Shadow Battle, and Navi's Trackers. And we did not get Navi's Trackers. We only got the first two.
Yes, I'm going to be looking into that because that is I didn't realize they got a third game on the disc.
Dang.
So this is what I was saying. It would be nice if we could get a remake or just even a port and have them give us that third game that we never played over here. Yeah. I'm sure there's ways to play it now if you dig deep enough.
Yeah, I mean, Shadow Battle is basically just multiplayer. Like, you just run around and try to destroy each other, right? Like,
yeah.
It can only be played in multiplayer. You can't play it in single player. It's just battle royale, and you're picking up the items, and you're trying to, you know, get the other links. There's really not a ton to it. But I've never actually gotten to play it either, though. To be fair, I've watched and what I know about the game, that's all it is. So, but I have to look into this Navi's Trackers because I'd like to know a little bit more. Like, what is it?
Yeah,
it's probably not a fully fledged big experience, but
no, it's going to be a mini game of some kind, I imagine. And then for Triforce Heroes, this one is developed by Nintendo Ingresso in conjunction, and it is a spiritual successor to Marvelous Another Treasure Island. How it's toted. Yeah,
what
so I think
is that,
so this is a game that I think Shannon and Sam have played, right?
I have not actually. It is on my list.
It's on your list.
It's on my list to pick up. So, and then as soon as that, as soon as the Super Nintendo operator, the SN operator, whatever, comes out so that I can dump the ROM and patch it with an English ROM, then I want to play it. But
yeah, because this is a Super Famicom game, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yep.
But I've heard nothing but good about it, and it is definitely some game I plan on playing someday.
And then I guess this is the same team that worked, or some of the same team that worked with Spirit Tracks. and the idea to develop this game came from a mechanic in Spirit Tracks where Zelda can possess phantoms, and you can have multiple, like you can control multiple things at once.
Right.
Which again is interesting, but it seems like they always flesh out these games based off like one little instance of something. I don't know if the game ended up being as fun as they thought it would be, you know, based off one mechanic.
No, it's really not. Like the idea of being able to basically you're switching your clothing to get different power-ups.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So instead of getting
items
in the game, you wear different clothing to have basically items or have different power-ups in the game. Yeah. So I get what they were going for, and I kind of think that if maybe they had played with it a little bit differently, it might have been a little more fun.
Yeah, in the mode that you played, the single player mode, originally was not going to be in the game, but the director requested that there be at least a single player function to the game, not to be multiplayer only.
Yeah, well,
and yeah, I don't know if that was, I think it's cited as the developer being glad that they put a single player mode in.
Well, but, yeah, because unless you're playing it local, you can't get the game to run in multiplayer. Time.
But again, I don't know if he did you any favors.
But it didn't do me any favors because that was a chore. That was the first time I ever felt like playing through a Zelda game was a chore.
Dang.
So, yeah,
but again, there is some fun to be had, and like I said, if you got together with a bunch of or with a couple of buddies, because it's only three player, you know. So if you got together with a couple of buddies and you're just hanging out and just laughing and having a good time, like you could, there's some fun in there. It's not like the game is like the worst game ever made. You know, it's not at that level. It still feels like a Zelda game when you're playing it. It just doesn't, it's just not as fun. It at least to me going through single player and my limited multiplayer adventures in it.
I mean, we could argue, I mean, on the one end, it's a pretty serious, I think, detriment accessibility wise that it's kind of quite hard to play any of these games in what's supposed to be the most fun way.
Right. And that's why I think releasing a more modern might give more opportunity to do that and to actually play them the way that the developers intended.
Yeah, I mean, if they just put Triforce Heroes on the Switch as like a download only game and and if it benefited from having a slightly better network options, slightly better than 3DS, you know, it might play a little bit better.
Right.
I mean, have you played Mario Maker 3D online? Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Slightly better.
Switch 2.
Switch 2. One of these days, they'll make good online.
That's two generations from now.
That
right. Switch 3.
Switch 2. We'll finally be able to play that Game Boy Advance game the way it was intended.
Yeah.
In another 15, 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy if they even just... I would probably play Triforce Heroes or give it
another shot. I think it would probably do okay in the netcode, because it's very limited parties, right? You're only playing with a few people.
Yep.
If you threw this up on NSO, like there's no reason they couldn't throw this up on Game Boy Advance NSO right now. And it would be perfectly playable. I played four-player Kirby. What's the four-player Kirby
game? Kirby and the Amazing Mirror.
Yes.
Yeah, the Amazing
Mirror. Thanks.
Mirror.
I knew you knew that, Flightsy. I played through that with the four of the four with four of us, and it was perfectly playable. So there's no reason why this wouldn't work really well on there. They just need to do it.
I'm resisting just talking about Amazing Mirror because when it came out, I played it with a friend, and it was actually really fun.
We'll get there eventually. It has to get selected as a game. I think it got beat out by something. I think I've had it in the voting before.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Kotorin was one of them.
Yeah, but that lost too.
Oh, yeah, no, that lost too. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we did
think it was,
show on that.
I think it was, I don't remember now.
That's the one I wanted to win. I think I voted for.
Yep.
Have to go back and see what episode it was.
Yep. So anyway, it's story time.
Story time. All right, so these get shorter and shorter every episode because the manuals get smaller and smaller and get less story detail. So we'll start with Four Sword. Legend of the Four Sword. Long ago in the Kingdom of Hyrule, there appeared a wind sorcerer named Vadi. Vadi could bend the wind to his will and used this awful power to terrorize many villages of Hyrule. In his assaults on the villages, Vadi would kidnap any beautiful girls who caught his fancy. Many knights from the castle and other brave men set out to subdue the sorcerer and rescue the girls, but each one fell in turn to Vadi's awesome power. Just as the people had begun to lose hope, a lone young boy traveling with little but a sword at his side appeared. When this boy heard what was happening, he said only, "I will defeat this sorcerer." He boldly entered Vadi's palace, mystically trapped the evil sorcerer inside the blade of his sword, and returned the young girls to their villages. The boy went deep into the forest and disappeared. The villagers asked the girls how a boy so young could have saved them all and defeated the sorcerer when no one else could. The young girls told a story of how with just a wave of his sword, the boy's body shattered into four pieces, each of which then formed a complete copy of the boy. These four young boys then worked together to defeat the sorcerer. The people did not believe the story, but they called it the Four Sword nonetheless. As rumors of the blade's power to divide a person into four entities spread, the people built a shrine to protect it. So they didn't necessarily believe it, but they built a shrine around it. Even though they had the sword. Anyway.
That's religion.
Yeah. Princess Zelda of the land of Hyrule was a beautiful young girl born with the mysterious power to sense approaching forces of evil. For this reason, she was assigned with the sacred duty of protecting the shrine of the Four Sword and the blade itself. One day, Zelda was in Hyrule Castle when she sensed that something unusual was occurring at the Four Sword Shrine. She asked a boy named Link, whom she trusted above anyone else, to accompany her to investigate the happenings at the shrine. So that's Four Sword.
Right, that leads into the opening cutscene.
Yes.
Yep.
So now we have Four Swords Adventure, the story of Hyrulean adventure. Long ago, in the inner reaches of Hyrule, an evil wind sorcerer known as Vadi began kidnapping beautiful young maidens one after another. Nobody could stop Vadi, and the people of Hyrule despaired. Then a brave young wanderer carrying only a single sword appeared. When the young lad took out his sword, he split into four separate beings. The legends say that these four beings worked as one and defeated Vadi. The wanderer united once again, imprisoned Vadi deep in Hyrule and sealed the prison with his own sword. This place became known as the Realm of the Four Sword. After that, a long time passed. Then the Wind Sorcerer Vadi broke out of his prison and then snatched Princess Zelda of Hyrule. Zelda's childhood friend, a young boy named Link, claimed the strange power of the Four Sword and fought Vadi fiercely. And in the end, he succeeded in sealing Vadi away once again. So that's a recap of Four Sword. And so peace was restored to Hyrule once again, or so everyone thought. And that leads into Four Sword Adventure.
You know, it would be cool if I was talking about before the show, Four Sword Chronicles, if like they rounded out the trilogy by doing the original story of like the first hero.
Yeah.
And also because that would force them to not do Zelda, which would be very interesting because it would be she's saving maidens.
Right. That yeah.
That would be interesting.
The hero's just saving the maidens, which is pretty much what you're doing in Four Sword Adventure, although you're also saving Zelda. All right. And then there is no manual with any kind of story for Triforce Heroes. However, there is a summary, and the summary is this. Triforce Heroes begins as Link arrives in the kingdom of Hytopia in the middle of a crisis surrounding its fashion obsession. Its princess Styla has been cursed by the lady. That's the bad person's name. The evil lady's name is just the lady, to wear a brown jumpsuit. Her father, King Tuft, sends out a call for a hero to save the princess, depending on a prophecy's characteristics. In other words, they just need people that look like the hero of the ages.
That works.
Like, it is not, you do not have a four sword kind of thing where you're splitting up. You are literally different people in Triforce Heroes that all happen to look like
Link.
The hero.
It's just a bunch of Link impersonators.
Yep.
I kind of like that.
Funny if they would
like
have made
like
him different.
Elvis impersonators, only they're Link impersonators.
But when the three Elvis impersonators came together, they could finally save the world.
That's right, exactly. So that's the story of Triforce Heroes. You are saving that poor princess from having to wear a brown jumpsuit.
Yep.
She's
wearing a brown bag special.
Is Four Swords the first appearance of Vadi?
So
I don't think so.
Well, Vadi appears in Minish Cap.
Okay. So it is.
Vadi is like he appears in there, and that's kind of where that that's where the villain comes from. Only his appearance is different because canonically Minish Cap comes before, because Vadi is. So wait a minute, does that mean that Minish Cap? No, because Minish Cap, you don't split up into the four swords.
No, Minish Cap.
No, very small.
But you do defeat Vadi.
Well, yeah, but
and one of
it one might of just the... be chronologically placed differently, but release order is afterwards.
Yes, yeah. But because Vadi is not, he doesn't look the same until one of the when you're fighting him as a boss in Minish Cap, spoiler alert, he does go into the form that you face him in Four Swords and Four Swords Adventure.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a reverse Dark Matter.
Yeah.
Because Dark Matter starts out in Kirby's Dream Land 2, he starts out in like a swordsman before revealing his Eldritch phase, and then he just kind of never goes back to the swordsman and is always Eldritch.
Correct. So that does work that way. Now, I will say, we're kind of getting into the whole timeline of these.
Which, yeah, we can do that.
It's a little weird, and it's where they've placed it on the timeline in Hyrule Historia doesn't really work if you do the full game of Four Swords Adventures, just because at the end of Four Sword Adventures, Vadi is of course, doesn't turn out to be the main bad. The main bad all along was Ganondorf.
Yeah, of course.
Or actually Ganon, because he's in his pig form, actually. I mean, so he is in his pig form with his Triforce, or with his, not his Triforce, his
Trident.
What's that weapon?
It's a trident, isn't it?
Trident. Thank you. I couldn't come up with trident. He has his trident and everything, but he's already in his pig form. It makes it a little weird based on where they've placed it in the timeline, because, well, I won't get into it because you kind of go down a rabbit hole of how that doesn't quite fit, based on the fact that he would be Ganondorf in that. Right. Anyway. Yeah.
I mean, they literally, if I remember right, between Hyrule Historia and like a new book, they would have like switched the order of two games. It's not consistent.
Right. It doesn't really matter, but yeah, we can talk about it.
For Four Swords, the original game in the timeline, it's just the third game in the timeline, like in the mainstream of the timeline, comes after Minish Cap, which Minish Cap comes only after Skyward Sword.
Yeah, so it's Skyward Sword, then Minish Cap, then Four Swords.
Yes.
Right.
So technically that's the first appearance of Vaadi in the timeline.
Correct.
Pretty early on.
But the Four Swords Adventures is on one of the split timelines.
Yes. It's like the last event in the child timeline.
Yes.
I'm looking at a picture now.
Yep.
And yes, it's after Twilight Princess. Yeah. Which is why Ganon does not make sense to be there, unless you're saying it's a reincarnation of Ganondorf, who then also turned into a Ganon. I don't know. It gets weird, but really the whole timeline thing, it's just for fun anyway.
And then Triforce Heroes, we were kind of talking about this. It released after the Dark Horse timeline.
Yeah.
And, but it's still it's the same link as A Link Between Worlds. So it's either before or after that game.
Maybe. But then again, you're also with other people who just look like you. So like, it really doesn't matter where it goes because it does not impact. It's the only Zelda game that does not impact the lore or anything. There is no reference. Like it's not about, you know, Ganon doesn't suddenly show up. You don't have anything about the Triforce. Like this is not, there's no lore. There's no story that ties into the greater Zelda lore.
The brown jumpsuit doesn't show up anywhere else.
That's right. You cannot get the, where's that costume in Tears of the Kingdom?
Yeah. The brown jumpsuit.
I want the brown jumpsuit princess. I want the princess amiibo so I can unlock the brown jumpsuit for Link and Tears of the Kingdom.
I can't wait for when that becomes an alternate costume for Zelda and Smash. the brown jumpsuit.
It's not even Zelda. They'll have to introduce
Echo Fighter.
Yes, exactly. Princess Styla is your next. That's how they're going to top Smash Brothers Ultimate. It's going to be now Smash Brothers Ultimate plus Styla.
Yeah,
new version. Well, they had a Piranha Plant. It's not that big far off.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that was a really weird combatant. so that's the story. That's the where they've placed it in the timeline, whether or not it makes total sense. The timeline's kind of
it's
iffy at best. But we like to reference it just because it does exist in a somewhat capacity.
I think I will say I think it's very interesting how it came to be, just like because fans demanded it.
Partially,
but also because like there's never been a planned overarching timeline,
but also individual games have connected. And so it's like there's like different there were different fragment timelines that existed before they had to try and incorporate it all into one big timeline, which is why it kind of is a mess.
Right.
Yeah. If they would have developed all these games and never mentioned, you know, pieces from a different game in it, nobody would even, it would all just be its own separate. It'd all be stories.
Yeah. I think it's just very interesting, just like as I think how different canons develop through different franchises, that was just a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
But obviously for another time.
It takes a lot of people that are just interested in knowing how things formed or, you know, the story that deeply that they want to know where things, and then they start digging and putting pieces together. But it's definitely with Zelda, once you get to that many games in a series, it's hard to piece them all together.
I think if you zoom in on like one branch, it makes sense. But like then you have to zoom in and the whole Trident thing.
Well, and then you have to kind of exclude Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild because they don't even make sense within any timeline.
Oh yeah, because they have like, because the way they made them is that it vaguely happens, it has references to parts of all three timelines, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Tears of the Kingdom could encompass the whole timeline, like, in itself, because it's the beginning and the end of the story, essentially.
Correct. We'll get there.
Yeah, well, that game's on the list at some point. We'll make right. it.
I actually don't know the story. By the time we get story. There,
it'll be retro.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we could talk gameplay next. We'll start talking about these games individually. The first one,
I do have a few decent amount to say gameplay wise.
That's good. We got the first one is the one that you're gonna want to talk about, and that's Four Swords. Kind of as the only real like basic note that I even put in here is that these are all multiplayer focused, so these were all designed to be played multiplayer.
None of us have done that.
And single player was the least favorable option when they released, and that's the way that we all played them. These games are very pared down for a Zelda experience. There's not very many items. Yes. There's not very many characters per se. There's not like a whole lot going on, at least in the first game that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I think that being a stand, like the anniversary edition is, it's a wonderful thing. Cause it's like, oh, you can play this game. It's like for the anniversary, it's a fun little game for the anniversary. We don't have to work too hard on making, but it kind of does it a bit of a disservice putting the original Four Swords Adventure and making it kind of hold its own as a full game. Cause it's really, it just isn't that. It's just,
well, but it was also the context. It was just a download. Like you didn't have to buy it.
Yeah.
So this kind of gave it to you for free. It's a nugget.
Oh, again, it's definitely price wise. I didn't mean to say it was unfair price. It's definitely a good deal, but like perceptions of it, right. It almost doesn't make sense to like criticize it on the level of a full game, because if you want the full game version, you buy Adventures. Or yeah. Like Four Swords is like its own. It's very specifically a mini game, and I thought that's actually very. That makes it very interesting.
Yeah, me. I agree. There's not even a whole lot of items that you can get in. I mean, there's
seven, bombs.
Bombs, the cloak, bone arrow. It's like a magnet item.
Yeah, there's a magnet. There's the boomerang.
A boomerang.
And there's, who could forget, the gnat hat.
I have the gnat hat.
The gnat hat.
The gnat hat that's only used in one part of the first dungeon, right?
No, no. They make it go through a gnat hat maze in Death Mountain.
Okay, so it's the second one.
It's used. Here's what I found. The gnat hat is made when they want to make you drop your useful item, because they force you to use it to go through some random hallway. Like, it's actually fairly scattered, which is the problem, because to make you drop.
I guess I only remember using it for, the extended portion of the game that you use it for.
Interesting. I just remember it being annoying whenever it was like, oh, well, time to drop the fun item I have.
Yeah.
So I can turn on the gnat hat and get through this thing.
But yeah, it's not in the way these games work. You don't collect an item. They're all on a pedestal. You have to trade items. It's almost like Link Between Worlds before Link Between Worlds. How you have to always go back and trade for a different item in order to have an item.
And I'm sure that makes a lot more sense when you're playing with multiplayer and you can trade amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Because
you could put one on a puzzle and the other person could pick it up and then
Well, actually, for that, I don't even think you would have to do that as much. Different people can grab different items and it would make more sense to have a variety of items.
Yeah.
Unless you all have to get the gnat cap.
Yeah. It's everyone, fucking gnat hat. I hate the gnat cap or the gnat hat or whatever it's called.
So everyone's being strategic and grabbing different stuff to use throughout the map, and then they all have to put it down to grab the net cap.
The one benefit of playing single player is that you can teleport your guy to you, so you don't have to sacrifice all your. You can keep one item with you.
Yeah, which in my case was always the shield because I never played with the other character. He was always just being drug along.
Presumably you could. Yeah.
So I guess there's the tutorial dungeon area, and then are three. It has a similar system to the beginnings of a normal Zelda game from that time. Like you kind of have a beginning tutorial area, then you have three dungeons that you have to go collect something. Except for in this game, collect those things and then you go to the palace and you play and you defeat the boss.
but that makes sense for what it was. This wasn't even meant to be.
Yeah,
it was always supposed to be a side thing. I mean, I think about how that tutorial was structured. The tutorial is long and arduous, but it's like that because it's specifically designed. Because this game was not, because in a normal Zelda game, you'd naturally learn things as you go along. This is supposed to be kind of it's not interested in doing that, so it front loads every mechanic you could possibly need to know in one big tutorial area, and then allows you to play the game because it's not structured. It's not supposed to be a gradual adventure where you gradually learn things. It's three stages where everything's there up front. So that's why that long tutorial exists.
I was gonna say, it also creates a problem where the tutorial is the same size as the rest of the game.
Yes. It's a very interesting design, I think, on it's Four Swords. But I find how it front loads everything. And the actual levels are score attacks.
Yeah, they are. It's just collect as many rupees as you possibly can.
And you get time bonuses for going faster, and it keeps that, and it will keep track of who has the most. And It's less of because a normal Zelda adventure, you're trying to you're gradually, I've never played any of the Zelda adventures, but you're gradually going about, you're experiencing it. But this is every level's a grid, and you're plopped in this big area, and you have to explore around the area and then try and find the way out.
An exit,
and there's a bunch.
There's an exit portal.
I
think this
game,
if I'm not wrong, also introduces the Black Rupee for the first time.
Oh, yes.
And it's the world's worst game to introduce that to, because when you're playing with multiple links, it's impossible to not pick it up, like on accident. Yeah.
But I think it's a very interesting structure that I think actually really could be played with a lot more as another side mode. Because think about it, you could do this kind of concept would fit very well into a procedurally generated thing. You could maybe even do like an endless mode. You could, I think this kind of small mode would actually be really well suited for a level editor, because like it's all very in that. People love when they make level editors to constrain them with very specific constraints, and it fits within that. It's very modular nature is just, it makes it a very interesting idea for what they could possibly do with it, even though it's unlikely they'll do anything with it. I think it's got like a very interesting feeling to it.
So, Shana, did you catch any of that, or was he... On my end, it just sounded like a robot. For like that whole...
No, dang it.
No, I caught that.
Okay, so maybe on yours, maybe the recording is still good, but...
Oh, I thought you were making fun of my analysis.
No, it was... I think I was losing internet connection or something, so that whole time...
Yeah, hopefully mine... Talking, yeah, because it sounded like a robot. Hopefully.
Oh, thank God, because like... Yeah, I was hoping.
I wouldn't ask you to reiterate because I don't think you could remember everything you said.
No. I said it'd be interesting to see if they tried some... I think there's more potential here for to go all in on the differenceness. Don't try and make it... Like, I love, like, as a side mode to, like, a Four Swords Chronicles or something, like, doing stuff like experimenting... It reminds me of the caves in Pikmin 2.
Yes. I agree. And like we said, it's a very short, it's bite-sized. It's a very compact, but at the same time, it's fun and it introduces something that we, you know, it's a first. It's something that no one ever did with Zelda before. And so I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. And even now, it's not really like Adventures or Triforce Heroes. It's still... I think a very different experience. There are a few other like gameplay things about how it works I'd like to cover, if that's okay.
Sure.
So first off, so the actual way it works is you play through them and like it's 1,000 rupees the first time, and that'll unlock you the silver keys, and that'll unlock you the silver normal version of Vadi's castle. And then if you play through each level again, you can go for 3,000 rupees and get like the gold key. And I think the dungeon actually changes for the gold key run. And then you could do the gold version of Vadi's castle. And then secret hero's key unlocks where you can go and redo it for if you go and get 5,000 rupees and get the hero's key. And then there's a final Heroes version of Vadi, which I was looking on the wiki. Apparently, you have to fight him like 4 times in the Heroes dungeon.
Oh, gosh.
Because, you know, it's 4. Yeah. But besides that, it's just, I think it's a very interesting structure of like, again, oh, you can play through it. It's very quick. But there is still more to do here. There is still faster times. And you can imagine even just trying to go for high scores with your friends and just trying over and over, like optimizing it. I think that could be very fun. So there is that. I didn't play that, obviously, but it is, I think, a very interesting...
You didn't squeeze that out in the 1 hour that you had before the show.
I barely rushed through. I'm really glad I never got less than 1,000 rupees like I did. So this game felt super long as a kid because I never, like, it was hard to get 1,000 rupees as a kid. I didn't even realize that was a requirement until I forgot that was a requirement until after I played, because I got all the rupees.
Yeah.
That simply. Well, because I was rushing, and like if you beat a level in under a minute, which I actually did once, that's 1,000 rupees right there. It gives you 1,000
right
rupees.
Through.
I should mention it's 2 levels and a boss for each.
For
each.
How the structure works for each world.
Yeah. But But there's also, I should add, the differences between Anniversary Edition. It adds a single player, and it also adds... so in the original, I believe you play... There are two items you can unlock. By playing Link to the Past, you unlock two items and four swords. And so for the Anniversary Edition, they actually added two post-game levels to associate with it, which also you can also, which you can also unlock the gold, silver, the silver, gold, and Heroes Key versions. I don't know much about, so it's the Realm of Memories and the Heroes Trial. I don't know much about Heroes Trial. Not sure if I ever even got to it, because Realm of Memories actually is kind of hard. Yeah. But I think I got to see the gold version of Realm of Memories at the very least. So I must have gotten the gold keys at some point too, which probably contributes to why I thought of the game as so longer than it was. So I had to make sure this was right. It's actually really cool. Do either of you two actually know what the Realm of Memories is?
I have not played it, no.
When I did, I don't think I did that part.
So the Realm of Memories, the three doors, the silver, gold, and Heroes Key, those are based off of... each of those doors is based off of a past Zelda game. So, like, the first one's Link to the Past, and you can barely notice the difference. But I remember getting to this gold door, and it's Link's Awakening, and it's Game Boy Green, and all the sprites are redone, so it looks like you're playing Link's Awakening.
Oh, man, and I'm going to play this now.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah. And then I looked it up because I was like, oh, I wonder just to make sure that I wasn't imagining the Game Boy Green thing. And apparently the Heroes Key has it like, and it looks like original Zelda. Like you're playing through it. All the sprites look like original Zelda. It looks beautiful because like the saturation looks really nice on it. I was just scrolling through the wiki and just the enemies, like with the pop that the original Zelda has.
Yeah.
It was like, it's a nice, I think the Heroes Trial is based on the areas of the game. So it doesn't do that, but the Realm of Memories is a really cool kind of like, I think it's a very cool reward.
It's a nice touch
to get.
That's really cool. And that actually makes me want to go back through and actually get to do all that, because I love it when games do that. I mean, that reminds me a lot of like how Dragon Quest XI on Switch
gives you the 8-bit option.
Yeah, it gives you the option to do 8-bit, but also has a whole section of the game where you go back through into old Dragon Quest games,
yeah,
and play out scenarios and things that were kind of like just to the side of the original, or just, you know, like, taking place during the events of these things. And that's really cool to me when games kind of honor their history in the series, in that way.
And it makes so much sense to add it for the 25th anniversary version. Right. Like, it's just really cool. And it's not going to be noticed by a lot of people because it's not in the original. And because the first one is Link to the Past, it looks so similar. The actual castle definitely looks like I remember the actual castle. It has like the specific castle sprites that like Link to the Past has, but like the game sprite looks, a lot of the items look very similar because it was created with the Link to the Past.
Right.
The art styles are very similar. Yeah. And you don't notice it until you get to like the Game Boy, and then especially the Legend, the original.
Yeah, that's really nice. Cool.
All right, well, that's four swords.
Yep. So we actually have to go shorter because I don't have anything to say.
This will be, I was going to say, I think for this one, I'm going to let Shannon kind of walk us through Adventures.
So Adventures is it unfolds much more like an actual Zelda adventure in a way. You're going through Hyrule, your sections of Hyrule, and each section is broken into three levels, where the idea of each level is to collect 2,000 force gems. So instead of collecting rupees, you have to collect force gems. When you reach 2,000, you level up your four sword and to break the seal to get to the next section. So yeah. If you get to the end of the level and you don't have enough, it'll actually send you back to continue collecting. And
there's different ones that have different values.
Yes. Yep. The different colors are different values. I'm currently doing a replay and I have not gotten to the end and not had 2000 rupees or 2000 force gems. Mm-hmm. Sorry. They're not too terribly difficult unless you're trying to just rush through. You're going to be able to find 2000. But what's interesting is that while most levels are, you know, you're going through the fields of Hyrule and you're going, you know, wherever, you know, and there's enemies and just like in a Zelda game, right? Like a 2D kind of Zelda game. And then some of the temples, are inspired by, you know, dungeons from Link to the Past, from Ocarina of Time, from, you know, they just have the different sections of the world. And so they kind of take their influence from that. But there are a few levels in the game that are completely different. There's one level, for instance, where you are in a village. There's no enemies or very actually, I don't think there's any enemies that I can think of off the top of my head in the entire level. But you have to basically solve what's going on. It's a lot more puzzle based. So there's like no combat. You're having to like get this item to go do this in this section to unlock this item to go to a different section. And you're having to get, you know, go to the dark world. And like there's a lot going on. And it's been a while since I played it, so it really threw me, and I had to really figure out where I was supposed to be going and doing. So it kind of breaks it up, so it's not the same thing every level. Cool. So it's much more of like a actual Zelda story too. It's definitely more just thus probably the adventure in the name, right? It's much more of an actual self-contained story adventure to the game. So that's really it in kind of a nutshell, the difference between that and the gameplay of Four Swords. Mm-hmm. I will say if you go into like a house or you go into like a cave, it will give you, it'll bring up if you're playing single player, it'll just bring up a little Game Boy Advance looking screen on top of your screen. And the action of what's inside will be on there. If you are playing multiplayer or even single player with the Game Boy Advance, it'll pop up onto your Game Boy Advance. And you'll see what was inside the house or inside the cave will be right on your Game Boy Advance screen. So that's kind of a cool way of kind of implementing it and doing it. I think that's pretty much it as far as the biggest differences in how it kind of built on Four Swords. There's definitely, like I said, I think there's 8 sections. Somebody might correct me. It might be 7, but regardless. And then each one is three levels where you would get the 2000 force gems in each one. So, but items, again, you can only have one item at a time. When you're playing single player, all your links will have the same item every time. And if you want something different, you have to, you know, basically exchange it. If you're playing multiplayer, you know, different people can have different items, which is helpful. But it plays pretty well, even in single player. Like if you have the opportunity to play this, I know it's kind of an expensive GameCube game now, but and you're like, well, I can't play a multiplayer anyway. It is still very serviceable as a single player. It's definitely the best single player experience of these three games that we're talking about.
Yeah. And it's a little bit different too, because whenever you're playing single player in the original Four Swords, there's just two links.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
As a kid, I was always like, how do I get the third and fourth link? I was like really confused by that.
Yes, that's but true. Then, I forgot about that.
And then whenever you're playing Four Swords Adventures, you have all, you always have all four links.
All four links. You can put them into different formations. Like if
you can't switch between them individually.
Yes, you can. You can.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you have to, because there's times where there's switches that are separated in different sections, or one link. You have to send one link out to a different cave or something like that, or a different room to activate something to but with a single button push, you can bring them all back together.
That's
You can sort through them. You can put them into different formations. So you can go in the length of a line, you know, a horizontal line, a vertical line,
a box,
a square, or like a diamond shape, where they can, like, you can power up your sword and spin around.
Well, and they're all faced. Yeah, they're all faced back to back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they can kind of be fortified.
It's definitely worth playing, and it's definitely worth playing single player. It has a very, like I said earlier, very Link to the Past feel in how the levels feel, basically. Like it controls very much like it. The items, they're all items from previous Zelda games in it. And a lot of them are from Link to the Past. So, you have bomb and boomerang and bow, fire rod, lamp, magic hammer, Pegasus boots, and shovel. And those are all from Link to the Past. But then you also get Rock's Feather, which is from
Link's Awakening.
And then the slingshot, which is from Ocarina of Time, was where that first appeared. But also, like in the Oracle games, you can get slingshot as well. So that's it. There's no other items that are like, that are new just for this. You can level up items. So if you find a fairy in a level, you'll dump whatever item you're carrying in the pool, and she'll level it up to a more powerful version. So I said that was it, and then I came up with a bunch of more stuff. It really is a deep game. It really is a full-fledged, deep Zelda experience. And really, if they ever re-release it, or if you ever get a chance to play it, I wouldn't hesitate. It really is a cool experience.
It does sound... It sounds very different, and I like that kind of like... Yeah, I like the vibe that you're describing.
Yeah,
they built on it really well, and it having it to where the levels feel more. They do a good job of making it feel more open, but then it's at the end of it, it's still level. But you feel like you're playing within the a normal open world Zelda game.
Yes. Oh, and Tingle is in it. So some people love Tingle. So if that can get you to get the game. Tingle makes appearances. Some of the larger force gems, the ones that are more valuable, if you get like hit by an enemy and you drop them, or if you make some appear on the screen by doing something, Tingle comes in on his balloon and slowly goes over to try to steal it from you. And then if you get to it before, he's like, "Oh," and then he leaves the screen.
Yeah.
So he goes on the screen. You can pop his balloon, and then he's like, "Ah," and then he's like stunned for a little bit until he can get his balloon going again and try to get the item. So yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay. If you want to, you can kind of quickly go through,
I think I kind of did it earlier, but really the difference is instead of picking up items, you have these different costumes that you can unlock. You can't unlock them all from the get-go, but as you play through the game, you play through the levels, you can basically, it's almost like crafting. You're getting stuff from the levels. You keep doing these levels over and over again to get and then you unlock these items basically to bring back and have a character design and make new clothing items for you.
I can see how that would wear out in single player, but be a good idea.
Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I mean, you know. But like, you know, so you get things like a big bomb outfit, right? Or it's so weird. There's things like, even as I'm looking through a list of them right now, I'm like, I don't even remember that one, but I'm sure I did at some point. You know, but there's things like you would think like, right, there's a fire suit. There's, you know, so you can do fire. There's a gust suit, which gives you like the power of wind kind of thing. But then there's stuff like a cheerleader outfit. I don't remember what that did, but it's there.
The power of cheer,
right? There's a costume where you are basically a cactus. There is like a Hammer Brother suit,
yeah.
And that gives you the power of the hammer, right? But it looks like a Hammer Brother suit. There's like a ninja one. There's, but then there's ones like Linebeck's uniform from the, which three? Yeah, that would have been Linebeck was the he wasn't which one of the 3DS games was he in? Was it?
I'm looking it up.
Is it
that's Phantom Hourglass.
What's that?
That's Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, found. Okay, excuse me, I just want to make sure I had the right one. But yeah, so like I don't remember what that does, but it's in there. So there's just it's a lot of like weird ones that really I don't even remember what they do, but they're in there. And I can't remember if some were just for show or if they all had, if each one had an individualized.
It's like Princess Peach Showtime before.
Right. Yeah. This is Link Showtime. So it's definitely that's its big gameplay loop, right? You go into these same levels over and over again to get the items, to build these new things, to get, you know, to get further in the game. Right. Until you can beat the lady and get back the princess's clothing for her. So she's no longer in the brown jumpsuit.
So you had to play through. So in single player, you had to play through the levels multiple times.
Yes. Yes.
Which I'm guessing in multiplayer, obviously you're playing with other people. It's a new experience each time. But like,
yeah, with single player, you're doing it.
You're doing this over and over again. The bosses were very, very, very difficult single player because everybody's got to basically be, each of your links had to be doing different things at the same time. So you're frantically switching between your links, making sure that they're in position to do what they need to be doing. And then you do what's called totem, where all you basically one link picks up another one. And then you pick up and then another one picks up both of them, so that you're basically holding up three links on top of you know, stacked on top of each other.
Because that's good multiplayer design, because you want to force people to coordinate. Right. But
yeah,
it just doesn't.
Yeah. So it's difficult, but there's some fun ideas.
Both of you into lava.
Right. Yeah. It's just an excuse to pick you up and throw you into lava if you're playing with people that. Yeah. So. Yep. But that's really it. Like I said, there's not really much to the story. It doesn't impact the Zelda universe or lore or whatever you want to say at all. It could really go anywhere. It could be just a fun story, side story. It doesn't have to be taken seriously at all. There's really no big consequences to the game. Some fun ideas. I just think that they needed another pass at how it all worked out.
Makes sense.
Yep. If this one ever makes it anywhere else, I'd definitely like to check it out. It just did not look like something I wanted to play when it originally released. All right.
Makes sense.
Let's talk about the music really quick. I did pull the composers for each of these games. The original Four Swords, the composer was Yuko Takahara. Four Swords Adventures was done by Koji Kondo.
Yes.
Which that was the only game that was an original like Nintendo only development. So that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
Right.
And then Triforce Heroes was composed by Ryu Nagamatsu.
So the Four Swords Adventures is the one I can talk about the best because that's the most memorable because it has a lot of musical similarities to Link to the Past. Makes really good use of that sound. You know, you feel like you're in the locations you're in. They do a really nice job with sound design and music. And again, that's because they really made it very similar vibes to Link to the Past. And Four Swords, correct me if I'm wrong, Flights, you just literally played it. Yeah. And it's been a little bit for me since I've really gotten into it. But it's mostly a lot of reused stuff from, there's not a lot of new stuff there, right?
Yeah. I will say, only thing I noticed music wise is I really like the boss theme actually. Okay. It's actually a really nice pumping up. Like the boss theme really pumps me up. I guess it's like, I got a nice beat. It reminds me a little bit. I'm not sure if I'd say it's as good because I haven't heard it a lot. It reminds me a bit of like Black Ball, which is boss theme. Kirby Black Ball. You don't know what that means.
I don't, sorry, but like, I should have known it was Kirby.
So Kirby's Black Ball has like, it's like a very punchy kind of like, it's the only piece of new music I noticed, but I actually do. I'm going to listen to that later.
I thought you said Black Ball. It was throwing me off.
Oh, I thought that's what you said too. Sorry.
Kirby's Block Ball.
Okay, yeah, okay. That I do know what that is. Okay.
But like the actual boss theme, I'll play it. Like it's.
It made me think in my head, is there a boss named Black Ball in Kirby?
Right.
I was like trying to think.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's a good theme. I think it's a good boss theme. I'm trying to look up if the Realm of Memories actually has different music, because I'm not actually sure if it does. I'll have to you have to give me a second. I have to listen to see if it actually has.
Did Triforce Heroes have any distinguished music?
I can't say that it probably, but I'd have to go back through and listen to the soundtrack again. Nothing that really stuck with me. You know, I listen to a lot of Zelda music when I'm doing work, when I'm doing most anything. I'll just throw on Zelda music. I don't know that I've ever thrown on the music for Triforce Heroes, so maybe I should. Well, maybe I should give it another try.
Before you do that, just throw on the boss theme from Four Swords.
Will do. Yes.
It's just a nice one.
So,
yeah.
It's probably, I think it was probably serviceable. I don't remember being oh my gosh, I got to turn this music off or anything like that. But it also isn't so much Zelda music is so ingrained and so even if you don't play a lot of Zelda or, you recognize Zelda music, right?
I was watching a baseball game. It was Giants versus Dodgers baseball game last night, and the organist started playing Gerudo Valley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is there, right? But I don't remember any of that coming from Triforce Heroes. But I'll give it another try for sure.
Awesome. Well, that's music. Definitely go check out those soundtracks and see if there's anything that jumps out to you. And that's pretty much it for these three games. We kind of ran through them. And I really feel, maybe we did Triforce Heroes more of a disservice than I thought we would. But really
I tried to give it its due because like I said, there's some fun ideas. It's not like it's just an awful game. Just don't play it single player. Play it multiplayer with other people
locally. Because here in a minute, you're not going to be able to
play. That's it. That would be
the only way. And then just don't go into it thinking it's a serious Zelda game either. And just You know, but just don't do it single player. Don't do what I did. Don't. Just don't.
Fine from me.
You know, it's just, you know, when it, in a world where every other Zelda game exists, play other Zelda games.
I think it definitely would have been nice if we had someone like fully in Triforce Heroes' corner. But for what it's worth, it sounds pretty interesting to me.
There's like, some interesting ideas. I do know, like, if you want to get somebody, we should have probably reached out. I don't know if you would have. It's been a while. But I do know that Tim from Nintendo Dads actually has some favorable, him and I have talked about this game over the last couple of years back and forth, because he actually rates this higher in higher esteem to a lot of Zelda games. So, but he was able to play it with his family, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, and stuff like that. And I think that makes the difference. I also know that I believe Seth over in All N also has some good things to say about Triforce Heroes too. So,
but currently my favorite Zelda game is Four Swords Adventures. It is the only one that I finished.
No, Four Swords, not Four Sword Adventure.
Four Swords, you're right. Yes. I've never played Four Swords Adventure.
Dang, you need to play Four Swords Adventure.
I probably could, because I have a GameCube and a GBA and a Link cable, because I played.
Now you just need like $100 for the game.
Yeah, it's a Scotch Day.
At least I actually don't even know what it's at right now, but it's.
I think it's more like 50 or 60 bucks.
Okay, maybe it's not so bad.
It's
anymore.
Not bad.
It was, you know, it was up there for a while.
That's good.
Yeah, it might be less 50, for a 60 loose
is
disc.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah, for a loose for a loose disc, yeah, it's probably.
My deal is that like I don't have a lot of money, but I always really like to go for like the complete version. I even my Game Boy games, I bought plastic cases. For
I just didn't know if it would be it might be worth it to find a loose one for this one to make it. A little bit more.
It looks like loose price is $51 on price charting right now. Complete is $82.
Ooh.
And that's for the regular version of this game. They did make like a big box version, which
made a cardboard box one that came with the Link cable, right?
I don't need a cardboard box.
Yeah, and that was that's a lot harder to and a lot more expensive. Yeah. I think that's like closer to like $200. Interestingly enough, the pale version of this game is actually, like almost double the price, even loose for the pale version.
What's the pale?
The Europe.
PAL?
PAL
Europe. Yeah. Oh, I was like, I just think like a picture, like a washed out cover for some reason.
Yeah,
this is another
pale version.
I think like maybe it's another version of Player's Choice that was weird. And
well, there's a Player's Choice version of this game, but I don't think it's any cheaper.
I don't think so either. Yep. So,
but
yeah, I just have the original, but it's
I think I've seen the Player's Choice version, but I have the original as well. I don't have the Player's Choice. I don't want to keep you guys for the whole night, so I'm going to give you guys each a chance for final words on this one.
Right.
And then we can get out of here.
And y'all go home.
Shannon, you can go first this time.
All right. So, you can find me around Discord, Spider-Shan. I'm around, always willing to talk Zelda or just about anything else. And I actually do have a YouTube channel that I am currently doing a playthrough of Four Sword Adventure.
Oh.
So if you are interested in that, I'm starting to get them out a lot more regularly. I'm just doing like one individual level per episode now. And I'm through the first three sections of the game, about to enter into the fourth. So on YouTube, I'm SpiderShan8. If you just look for that, you'll find me. And, I've also got some old, other games up there that I played through, like Maniac Mansion and, I can't even think what else. Princess Tomato and Salad Kingdom. Yeah. So just some obscure stuff that nobody remembers but me. But yeah, have fun doing that. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Flightsy, how about you?
Well, I run... I suppose, am I doing Final Thoughts or am I doing promotions?
You can do both.
All right, so Final Thoughts of the games. I'm actually quite glad I played through Four Swords another time, just because like I didn't realize how unique that game was. All I remembered vaguely, I just remembered vague details from my childhood, and like I got a lot of memories back, and like there's some cool aspects of that game that I just like, I think design wise and for what it's worth, Four Swords Avengers and Hyrule and Triforce Heroes both do sound very interesting, very unique, and like very fun games, so I would not mind trying them, but probably but I mean, maybe not as my next Zelda, as the second Zelda game to ever complete. I might find a more conventional one. I do streaming. My name is Flightsy. That's kind of like a humanified version of the channel name, which is Flightship. And so on Flightship, it's like a flying ship. I've just been streaming recently. I haven't made any standalone videos in a while, but I stream every Fridays at 9 p.m. I just finished playing Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood, which is a very recent game that is all about ethical dilemmas. It's like kind of a visual novel, but it also tarot and like some, and that game made me go through a whole Faustian bargain thing. Like character arc, me, not in the game, like the player, where like I made a deal with the devil, then was confident I'd gotten the better of him, realized my mistake, and then spent the rest of the deal like dreading the other shoe dropping. This game got me through its questions, got me every episode. I was like laughing or reacting or emoting in some way. It's a great game. I've plugged that, but I'm between series right now. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next, but it's going to be at Fridays at 9 p.m. That's all I know. At CSD.
Sounds like a good place to throw a Zelda game in there.
That's right.
I don't have a capture. I don't have a capture card or any consoles with me. It has to be PC. The emulation was a one-time thing. This is the first game I've ever successfully emulated. It will. And I plan or only bring it out if it's an actual emergency.
The disclaimer at the end here.
I don't judge emulation, but personally, it's not for me.
Okay. But yeah, go check out these guys' YouTube channels and support them. Like their content. Check it out. It's definitely worth checking out. Last thing I have before we get out of here is the next show's game, and it's actually not a game, it's a console. We're going to talk about the 35th anniversary of the Game Boy as a console. I've already got a handful of people that I know that want to come talk Game Boy, so...
I was going to ask about the guest thing. You don't have to put this in.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. I reached out on Discord and I had a few people that have already said they would like to be on, so we're yeah. Rolling. I would like to get this next episode out next week.
Right, alright.
But Game Boy, 35th. It's hard to believe it's been that long now. It's as old as my wife.
Dang. It's a lot older than me.
Yes. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like trying to put the years together. I was like, oh yeah, we're old now. But yeah, look forward to Game Boy. Huh?
35 is not old.
You tell me if you feel old whenever you get to 35, and we can have.
I'm sure I'll feel old, but I don't think I don't think you get forward until you're like into your 50s, possibly 60s.
No, wait until you have vivid memories of getting a Game Boy brand new.
Right.
Yep.
When it came out 35 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. We're definitely going to have a pretty good sized conversation about the Game Boy. I have a good feeling on it. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening to On Topic Retro, part of the RetroLogic family of podcasts. If you'd like to send in your personal experiences for the next show, but you don't have Discord or you aren't joined or you haven't joined our Discord yet, you can send them to ontopicretro@gmail.com. If you haven't joined our wonderful non-toxic RetroLogic Discord and you'd like to, you can visit retrologic.games for details on how to join for free, or you can look in the episode description for a link. There's always one in there. Speaking of retrologic.games, it's back up. It was down for a little while, but we've resurrected it thanks to Tim over at Nintendo Dads. So go check that out. There's tons of other podcasts. There's the blog. There's merchandise that you can purchase. There's all kinds of stuff over there. That's it for this episode. Stay tuned for more. We'll definitely have plenty more episodes, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye now.
Bye.